Good morning. This is the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790. The number you call, 266-4862, or WhatsApp connection. And you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout, our technical operator producer, as he usually is on the days that I host. And Dennis Johnson, your moderator. We go until 2 this afternoon with our usual breaks for the regional roundup, tracking the latest network news from Flow, and the latest at 12:30. Should there be any breaking news in between that time, I'm sure you hear from our team in the newsroom. Over the years, sitting in the chair that John occupies this morning as the producer of Down to Brass Tacks, almost every year I've listened to two sides of an ongoing debate. One side says it's the worst thing that could possibly happen to a young person. It labels them a failure at a very tender age and puts them in a position where for the rest of their life they're stigmatized because of the school they did not attend, the grades they did not receive, and they end up in prison, basically. That's the extreme on that side. That's those who would like to not have that particular exam anymore. On the other side, there are those who say it's the best thing that could possibly happen to a child because the poor people will get an opportunity to send their child to a good school. They'll get good grades. They'll go on to be hugely successful. They lift their parents out of poverty, and they will go on to be good and productive citizens. That exam is called the 11 plus exam. Usually stayed out of that argument because I've often stated, one, I don't like exams, and two, I don't think I'm competent to join that discussion at any level. I don't know what ADSL is. I don't know what dyslexia and all the other things that people discuss when they discuss those things. So when the discussion started about another exam that was causing stress and distress, I kind of kept my distance until yesterday, when I heard an impassioned presentation from a parent who talked about the challenges being faced by our young people because of the disputed results of the latest examinations set by the Caribbean Examinations Council. And I heard mention of people who were so traumatized that they were on suicide watch. And something in me woke up. So I know this is not a young people station. I know this is not a young voice. And I suppose there are other things doing on a day when there is supposedly no school. Perhaps they're listening to the younger stations and enjoying their music. But I have a message. Welcome to the real world. Welcome to the world that we inherited, and when we were your age, we said we were going to change it. We were going to do away with the things that offended us, the things that were bad, and we were going to make it a better place for you. But we got sidetracked with the sex and the acquiring things. And then you came along and we had other things to do. So what we did was we messed up the world a little more, and now we handed it to you in a worse mess than when we found it. And we have not prepared you to handle it. But we were hoping that you were going to take it and run with it and make it better for us in our golden years. Because our golden years right now, neither gold nor silver, nor even brass. So we were hoping that, you know, you would fix it for us because we didn't fix it ourselves. If you think that the challenges of the world and the disappointments you face are too tough to handle, you think you can handle the disappointments and the challenges that come with death? Suppose there are greater challenges and greater disappointments in death than there is in life. How are you going to face it? My message is this. If you think it's wrong, if you think it's unfair, fix it. That's what you're being trained to do. That's what education is supposed to do, to give you the tools and the confidence to fix the things that you think are wrong. You will make mistakes. All your solutions may not be the right ones. But you know what? You have been equipped to fix it. Stand up and fix it. If you want it better, if you have a vision, you articulate the vision. You change it. Protest if you must. But let me give you a piece of advice on that too. You don't have to take it, but perhaps adjusting the advice-giving mood. Don't make noise. Don't beat drums and whistle and shout. Don't. You know why? Because you've been making noise and shouting from the time you were an infant to get adults' attention. So they know it. So noise, don't get them to pay attention anymore. They just blank it out. You know what's terrifying them? Your silence. You see, when they can't hear you, they don't know what you're up to. So they get worried. So protest. If you think CXC wrong and you want to protest, go there. Physically distance. Stretch your hand out, put on your mask, and link the whole building. Surround it with your chain of bodies and say nothing. Then I get up and go to the window and peep outside and open the door to check to see what you're doing because you're quiet. And if they see you just standing there, they'll wonder what it is you're up to. And they'll sit down in the air-conditioned office and get cold sweats. And the silence of the lambs will have a whole new meaning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Dawson.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
I'm listening to you. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. I can only repeat myself if I did not hear you, you know. And sometimes when you're talking, and especially you said good morning, and you have to say more than once because you okay. don't hear a reply.
No problem. No problem.
Right. Good. The first thing is, let's continue from where you left off.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the paper, how many schools representatives was in that peaceful march against the results of the CSC that you noticed?
I didn't look at it, sir, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, for what I saw, there were two schools out front. That was ASC and QC. So I was wondering, what happened to your school, Foundation, Lodge, Calamira? Were there any backlight? Now, here is the thing, Mr. Johnson. I spoke to a teacher yesterday, and because I'm not being really informed of what's going on there. I've been hearing bits and pieces from the CSC and from Mary Redmond. And I was trying to put the two pieces together, so therefore I asked somebody who is a professional, teacher profession. Now, here's the thing. Let's assume that you're in Trinidad at school. And you were asked to do they give you the material in the lab to manufacture sodium. You did it. You were graded. You write out the experience of what you and how you came about to producing the sodium, and then you were marked, which we call the SBAs, and you were given 97 points. Now here it really gets tricky. In the theory paper now, the multiple choice paper, which has about 4 or 5 different answers, but only one is right. You are asked then to answer questions on the same manufacturing of sodium, and the people who correct the paper say, hey, wait a minute, here you get 90 in producing it, and here you get 40 somebody and answer the questions. And this is the simplest way the teacher sought to explain it to me. Now you have to ask Mary Redmond and the people who correct the SBAs where the problem lies. Because
what makes you think that Ms. Redmond correct the SBAs?
I never said that she corrected them. I said answer.
But why should you ask her? If she didn't correct them, why should you, know?
Because according to the professional teacher, he says for years they were questioning these high marks that they were getting for the SBAs. And I don't have the
So I have a piece of advice for you, right?
Yes.
My piece of advice to you is don't pursue this argument with me. Because every time you come up with your theories, speaking to imaginary people, I just go into zones that you don't want me to go into. So, for your self-respect and my sanity, have a good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
How are you today?
I am good today, sir. How are you?
Well, under these circumstances, I'm good.
Good. Stay that way. Stay that way.
I always remember the Aboriginal, right? A lot of people feel that you don't like me and they don't like you back. I remember as a child growing up, when my parents disciplined me, they used to feel they didn't like me too. But as they grow, and they see what's going on around me, they didn't only like me then, they still love me. Right? You remember a few years ago, I got on this program, but not this program, a program on this station, a broadcast program, and they said, when Alpha didn't do anything good, and you put me up. And you said nothing. You didn't do nothing. And I backtracked in quick time and I recall the good things that you did. I always say, you don't make decisions when you're angry. It's the biggest mistake you could ever do. And I feel that when someone, whether you let them or not, does something that they deserve credit, give them the credit that is due.
I agree. I can't disagree. Whether you like the person or not, if the batsman you think is the worst batsman in the world score 100, he just score 100. You could sit and say the bowling was poor, the fielding was poor, the captain make poor decisions, the man make 100.
Exactly.
So you say he make 100. He had a good break, but he make 100. Yeah, go along. You might still think he's the worst batsman in the world.
Right. Based on the history of the universities of the West Indies, I don't think you should rename the campus. But after Mr. Alpha, but you can give him a billion. Right? You can give him a billion. And I strongly believe that he deserved the statue. He did a damn lot. He did a lot. Right? And I'm going to say this too. That Westmoreland Junction where that Lady Mary Downs was killed, the lady who was agitated day in and day out, night in and night out, I feel that junction should be named after her to honor her memory. She did a lot. Right? And sometimes I even blame myself. You know, I blame myself. I remember reading about what she was doing, never paying attention to it. Never. It's only when she got killed that everything like just flashed past me. And it just bothered me, you know, that at that time, had I paid any attention, I would have gone on the radio sooner. No, it wasn't me totally. I do nothing. Mm-hmm. I just went on the radio talk. Mm-hmm. Right? And I must compliment the former Minister of Transport and Works, Mr. Dugate, for what he did. Right. That's the kind of person I am. Right?
Okay, sir.
There was finance I have to say, and I can tell this now.
Mm-hmm.
Do not. This is the 15th commandment, right? Allow anyone to get under your skin. Surprise them. Have them wonder why Dennis Johnson and get angry at me today. Have a nice day, brother.
You too, my friend. It is the 1st of October. It is the birthday of the Prime Minister of Barbados and the former Minister of Finance as well. So, Mr. Sinclair, happy birthday to you. And Ms. Motley, happy birthday to you too. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Peace be unto you and yours.
My darling, how are you?
Giving the Creator thanks for a blessing and a rainy day. Thank God for it. But some heat still coming with it. And,
that's because the air sucked out.
I guess so. First, two good friends celebrating birthdays together. That is very good, Mr. Sinclair and the Honorary Prime Minister. I pray God grant them long life and that they live to see many, many more and continue to guide and protect them and all those who celebrating birthdays today. I call for that and I want to say today, that beacon shining brightly, that prestigious beacon shining brightly at the top of Government Hill celebrating their birthday today, 1964.
Spring Memorial?
Yes.
Really?
Members one of another.
Really?
So, yes. So
I didn't know that one.
Today.
I need to check up with my Springer people.
Oh, yeah.
Starting with you. Starting with you.
Members one of another. That beacon shining brightly. So to all those, I know a lot of the children will be at home today from that school and all the old scholars that listening. I think some was sent out to Cassie this morning. Cassie,
happy anniversary to you.
Thank you, my dear.
On behalf of your schoolmates.
You know what you said about the gentleman, what he was saying is true. It's good to admit when you are wrong. You know, some people, you would tell them the truth, but they still vex with you because you tell them the truth. And give honor where honor due, whether you and the person speak or not, and they did something that they deserve to say, well, congratulations, or you did a good job, or whatever, do it.
Yep.
That will keep your conscience clear, and that will help you. People do me wrong, and some, Mr. Johnson, they nothing to do with. Not that I hate them, but I can keep far from them. Some, I would try to help. If I see you going down the road and you see anything happening to the person, I will run back and ask for help for the person, but they ain't going. But I watch you one for yourself. You should give to others.
Mommy, you know, I have to thank you for saying that, because too many times people mistake anger and perhaps disappointment for the wrong things.
True.
A lot of times people do things to you, and the reason why it annoys you is not because you
hate the person.
It's because you're disappointed by their actions. Especially if you thought highly of the person.
Yes.
If you didn't think highly of the person, you'd say, you know what? Them head ain't good. And you go along. But if it's somebody that you think highly of, you feel it. It hurts.
True.
And to me, I say to people all the time, indifference is the worst thing that could possibly happen to a person. If you're lying down by the side of the road bleeding and somebody watching you walk over you and go along as though, you know,
nothing.
You're a cockroach. Yeah. To me, that's the worst thing that could happen.
True.
If they look at you and suck their teeth, at least you know they see you and that they have some kind of reaction. So as you say, even if they go down the road and tell them, that disgusting boy lie down in the gutter, go see about him. Go see about him, because I really ain't got no time with him. At least they know you're a human being and you need help. You understand? But when they just go along,
I love that song, Another Day in Paradise, called the lady, she was asking for help, and because she maybe a homeless person or whatever,
correct.
The body and look
walk
at
by
her.
On
and
the
they
street.
Always love that song.
Brilliant
yeah,
song.
And the other
Phil
one, I can't
genius.
Get the thing pronounced properly, but the other one, even the dull and ignorant there too have
the Desiderata.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Anyhow, Mr. Johnson, God bless you. But I hear your wife lately. Miss B. What happened with Miss B? I ain't hear Miss B. Yeah,
the last time I heard from her was on this program, and she was short and sweet and quiet. I've not heard, which is a strange thing to say. The quiet part is a strange thing to say. Short and sweet, all right. The quiet, strange. But I think she's all right. I'm sure somebody would have said something if she wasn't.
Well, everybody be safe on the road and have a blessed and a wonderful day.
You too, darling. Enjoy the weather the best you can.
I will.
This is Dr. Brad Stacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning, sir.
How are you, man? How do the weather treating you?
I am all right. All right. All the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I can throw three little bouncers at you this morning.
You like doing that. And you always throw three. I guess the umpire just called you after four. After three.
I'm about three. I'm about three. Yeah. May I reduce the two if you hit me for 6 hours, though?
All right.
Mr. Johnson, I heard Minister Santia Bradshaw speak about public officers have to pull the weight. She gives them a tongue lashing, which were fitted and suitable for those who are guilty of it. My argument is, Mr. Johnson, you and I know that this was going on for a little while. Why holler out now?
Maybe a pinch.
Whitehall Road. No, these words should have been said long time ago. I remember before the Mr. Mayor Martley was PM under Owen Arthur Hands. I remember she said public servants in this country have to work like anyone else. I remember those words from her. And you know, we have scenarios here where some of these said public servants, you know, they get on like if these entities is their own, you know, some of them come into work, spend an hour, two, back out.
So, you know, look, let me say this to you, huh?
Yes.
It is unfortunate. It really is unfortunate that we regurgitate this over and over and over and over.
Yes.
Right?
I got you on the spot, Mr. Johnson.
No, you got me on the spot. Sir, I don't know why people would ever think they get me on the spot.
Right.
I'll tell you this. The reason why I take a deep breath is because sometimes I like to make sure that my message goes the right way and you don't get caught up in the other things I say.
Right.
The problem I have is that over the years, the public service of Barbados has served Barbados well. They followed a system that said, this is an honorable profession. We will be rewarded for our length of service. We will make sure that no matter which party comes in or goes out, we will make sure that Barbados functions. It worked well for Barbados to the point where other Caribbean islands wanted professionals to man their public service. They called it civil service at the time. They reached for Barbadians. So the registrar of the Supreme Court in Grenada in the 1960s was a Bajan called Ernest Carlisle Wilkinson. Tall, dark fellow with a big voice, Bajan to the core. When Trinidad wanted some people to run the courier service at Royal Bank, they got two Bajan fellows, Mr. Graves and Mr. Paris. You hear them names? Bajan to the core. This was the quality of the Barbadian, raised in a environment that said, this is top quality, this is what I do, this is Barbados. We, the royal we, so I don't offend the people who don't like me using we, decided to stack the civil service, the public service, with yes people, people who support we party, and others who will do what we tell them to do, rather than what they know was right to do. So when the other set come in, they would frustrate their efforts, make the people miserable, and then get we back in power. And then we can fix it all over again. We destroyed the pedigree. We destroyed the esprit de corps. Let me read from a Latin and show that I actually spent 2 days in school. We destroyed what our public service was. So, and then we turn around and cuss them because we put people in there to do that. But they're doing what they get put in there to do. And here's what worries me. You know who's suffering? That word we like to use all the time, the masses. I cannot understand how if I live in Beckles Road and I get put in a little ministry because the minister is my friend, I can spite the people from Beckles Road who come in and asking to help get by their property the bush or the drain clean or they come for a welfare check. But what kind of person am I? That ain't got nothing to do with the minister. That ain't got nothing to do with anybody. That got to do with me. I suddenly in the public service. So I can make you grovel. So I can't get it. I don't get it. And to me, if I were a minister or I was a party person, if you be smirching my name or my party reputation, I can't support you. Nobody can stop nowhere and say the minister sent me, so you can't get rid of me. I can sit on here and file my nails and eat nuts, and you can stop there so and sweat. So that ain't making sense.
Yeah, although you said a few moments ago we got a good public service.
We did, yes, that, we did,
that
sir.
Is true. That is true.
Absolutely.
But Mr. Johnson, there's still a few bad apples in there.
So weed them out. They're easy to see.
Right, right.
They ain't red and shiny.
We
and they
need to get them out. And
well, they're golden apples, so they ain't green.
That's why I said to you, the minister should have spoken to this statement she put down.
Maybe she
did. That's a statement that should have put down everything.
Well.
We know that some reluctant apples inside there. All right, but my second point.
Boy, the bouncer.
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, okay. You're holding the bouncer back. Yeah, all right. I ain't stepping down the wicket then.
Right,
I will wait. Tell me.
The NIS.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you remember the NIS come with a protocol where people who want their monies had to open a bank account.
Yes, they asked that you do that.
Now, I'm asking you, because I lost a little bit down the way. I didn't get much on it since then. Now, is the system working? The bank account thing where people go in and put them, open the bank accounts and so on? Is
I've
it getting the money
works.
Quicker? Yep. Is it working?
Yep. From those who have responded, yes. There are a couple of emails and WhatsApps I've received from people who said they're getting it on time. If it's going to be there on today the 1st, if they check midnight tonight, they're there.
That is good.
I've heard from those.
That's what I want to hear, all right?
Mm-hmm.
My last and final point here to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Johnson, do we have corruption in this country?
Yes, we do.
Good. I agree to that as well. Mr. Johnson, the question I want to ask you. What it is that in this country, when people are subject to corruption, we there's only got a lot of rubber talk, and you never can see handcuffs put on.
Because it's difficult to prove it if you don't have courthouse evidence, let me call it that.
But Mr. Johnson, I think it's more than that, man.
What do you think it is?
I think it's because of who you are and who you're affiliated with that we just...
That ain't true. So, look, first off, one has to identify what you call corruption. Then you have to identify the specific law that was broken. And then you have to have the evidence to prove that specific law was broken. Let me give you a scenario. Mm-hmm. You work in a bank.
Yeah.
So I come to the bank and I ask you, you could help me with a little foreign exchange here. I go into the States and buy some things. Now, you know you're supposed to only give me X because as your friend, wink, wink, and smile, smile, you give me a little more cash than you should have, okay?
Yeah.
That the law allows.
Yes.
So when I come back from the U.S., I give you a nice gold watch. And I tell you, thanks for helping me out. That's a gift or that's corruption?
No, that's not a gift.
That's not a gift. How you know that's not a gift? Because you give me more than you should have given me. You see my point? But here's the thing. How are you going to prove it's not a gift? I could wait until it's your birthday. I could wait until it's Christmas. I could give you a gift. Now, here's the problem. If I tell John, and I tell David, and I tell Peter, and I tell Corey, you see my boy in the bank? Give you a little something. I need a little $50. Give you a little watch. Bring back the latest cell phone for him. And he can give you more money. He got some benefit for me.
But Mr.
He
got
benefit for you. So that's how it starts. It starts there.
Okay,
but what is the law you have broken? How am I going to get you locked up for corruption?
Okay, quite understand. Now, you will say the same thing goes on with money laundering too?
Sir, there is a law against money laundering. So if you have a procedure that says this is what you're supposed to do, if you have a deposit that's over $10,000, you have to say where the funds come from, right? If you decided to deposit $9,000, so that it never comes up to $10,000, so you never have to say where it comes from, the bank is going to flag it and say you're doing something illegal. And come and investigate it because there is a law. Now, it may turn out that you win the lottery. It may turn out that your mother dead and left money under the mattress. and you didn't want to come up and do it. But you would have to prove where you keep getting 9,000, 9,000, 9,000, 9,000, and not 10,000, and you don't work nowhere. They will investigate it and ask you what's the source of the funds, and they're going to trap you. And if it gets to the stage where they find that you've used that money for another purpose, they will call it laundering.
Let me ask a question. We got a case pending in the U.S. I got to be careful here now.
It's not pending. It has been done already. The person has not been sentenced. Yes.
So that person is free?
No, they're not. If they're free, they'd be all over the world.
That person gets sentenced?
No, that's what they're waiting on.
Okay. I got my strong feelings. I always have my feelings that they will be sentenced. That's my personal feeling. I always felt they will be sentenced. But
if they're found guilty, there will be a sentence. But the process in the United States say you have to have a sentencing hearing, if you call it that. So until that happens, the person is under the restrictions of the court until the sentence is passed.
Yes. All right, Brother Johnson, thank you for hearing my 3 points.
I always listen to you carefully, sir. I try to respond when I could.
Yes. you and Mr. Ellis is the two gangulis there, man.
Right.
I think the program could just be run by you.
I don't care who
disagree with me for saying that. The program could be run only by the two of y'all.
So I thank you on his behalf, but let me say this to you. Sometimes you just need to take a break to just clear your head, right?
All right.
It's got to be a little heavy. You know, when you keep on the helmet so long, you say, I take it off. You ever watch cricket, man? So let's just take off the helmet and mop their brow.
At least I make sure I keep my paw in good light.
Yes, and I followed the ball right through to the keeper's glove, sir. I thank you for being decent. Have a good one, sir.
Cool, buddy. Good.
You too. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Mohammed Nasser, how are you?
Brother Nasser, I'm good.
I happened to hear your little talk before the...
At the start of the program, sir?
Huh?
At the start of the program?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, something you said is very interesting. I try and move on some noise here. I have been at a workshop. They don't mind somebody else doing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something you said that is very true. The people and the problem that they're having now with their children and these. Hello, you hear me?
Clearly, sir. I know you're distracted by what behind you, but I can hear you.
Okay, good. Now, do you understand, and I can keep repeating it to somebody, someone must understand that first, that education is nothing to do with how much marks you get on your way to getting a degree, you know. Educators try to do that if there is a problem, and there can be a problem. There are people who might not like people, but they don't know them any here. So therefore, even if they don't like them, they don't know them. So therefore, it will not make, I cannot say that they can mark them lower. But this is why I'm saying in education, that people must understand that because they might get lower marks, that they are not failures and that they can continue. Now, I know we can hear about the parents who don't have the money and some of us better off than others, but all that is true. But you know something I learned about education, Mr. Johnson? You don't need money to be bright. Otherwise, I would be dumb. What you need is the commitment. If you want to be a lawyer, commit yourself that you want to be a lawyer. If you want to be a doctor, commit yourself that you want to be a doctor. Now, that might sound, you ain't got the education because you stopped developing your mind. But if you keep reading books and start doing research, and now you've got the cell phones, the computer, everything in it, you could still become a lawyer or become a doctor or anything you want to be. And I want to say that because I do not want the people who believe, and I believe something might be wrong, I don't know, but it will be fixed hopefully. I don't want the people who now have this problem with their children, and they know the children are willing, trying the best to achieve the best, to give up. Fight the system, but don't believe that if you don't win, that your children will not be successful. They will be very successful once they commit themselves to success. I want to say something here before I really ask you a question. Mr. Johnson, the truth is that you made a point today that I enjoy too about a batsman. About a batsman make 100, but he can't bat. But you know why he make the 100? I'm not saying that you say he can't bat, I'm just telling you the whole thing. But you know why he make the 100 top class batsmen make not in the same innings, in the same innings?
Correct.
So the truth is that he can bat. It's just that that particular time, he commit himself to save his side or to make 100 because the top batsmen failed. And if they had not failed, he might never worry about making that 100. But he was committed to his team and they are chic. I know they've got good with my batsmen now too. And I believe these are things that are facts. And I say all that to say this, Mr. Johnson. There is some myth, and I don't care who get vexed anyway, but there's some myth that people, when they go into parliament, got all this brain. Do you understand that 99% of people who go into parliament can't run a government? The government is run by the civil service of this country. Am I wrong, Mr. Johnson?
No, sir, you're not.
Huh?
No, you're not wrong. So, and that's why I tried to make the comment I made about what it started off being and what we've done to it. So, no organization, no entity, no enterprise, not you, not me, no individual can do everything that needs to be done in a business. Even if you are a self-owned and operated enterprise, if you own a tractor and you drive it yourself, unless you're also a mechanic, unless you're also all sorts of other things, there will come a day when you will need assistance with something, whether it's from an accountant, whether it's from somebody to just help you lift the tractor, somebody to bring a jack because your jack ain't working. There is no enterprise that can operate entirely on its own. So the messenger has a function, the manager has a function. That's how I treat life.
Now, Mr. Johnson, hear you just said? I like to put that to horse racing. You know that I also use horses.
And whipping the horse. Yeah.
Money you have. I don't care how much money you have. You can buy the most expensive horse in the world, the fastest horse that ever developed. If the groom, the trainer, and the jockey decide that you're in the race, you will in the race. Am I wrong, all right, Mr. Johnson?
Sir, you're correct. And if they decide to dope the horse, you'll win and still lose.
Right. No. No, let me go further ahead. I've tried all my life to explain to people the problem that we are having is not because we don't have ability, it's because we are afraid of people who we should not be afraid of. Today, I hear the police on the radio in your program, they're giving about the traffic. And so. Mm-hmm. And I was so pleased to hear that police say, if you have any problem with flooding or anything, do not wait. Call us. That is what. You can't call nobody in parliament. You call it. And I was so glad to hear that. And he repeated it at another time in the program. This is what we have to sit down. We are in this country believing that we can't make it. And, you know, our young people are failing. I can say this now, Mr. Johnson, again, so that people will understand. Our young people are apparently is failing because we have destroyed industry and agriculture in this country and pumped everything into tourism. So they feel like me that ain't went to the university, never seen a Harrison College, nor Common Mirror, nor nothing. Used to go into industry and get beat, cursed, treat bad. But I'm going to be the best mechanic, the best welder, the best of anything. Because I am going to master it. And then you start reading books. I just read, Mr. Johnson. Books. And you must be going from the kitchen to use out. The point is that once you pick up something that you like, you're going to study it. That way you could box. And they go into boxing. You think I read box. Read books on cricket. I'm going to read books and watch things on boxing because I want to be the best boxer in the world. The doctor want to be the best doctor. So the carpenter and the engineer want to be the best. Everybody want to be the best. But we keep making our people, young people, believe that the only hope they have is getting enough certificates to go to university in law and medicine and things like that. And I think it won't change. We want to look at it and say, these are the opportunities you have. A lawyer, doctor, engineer, welder, you know, carpenter, a mason, all these are great. Job applications and painting. You have to open up the field and let your people say,
But Bernasa, you see, here again, this is where we will disagree, and I'll tell you why we'll disagree.
Yeah.
I fundamentally believe that the purpose of education is so that you will be able to determine the difference between what you know and what you don't know. And when you do that, you'll be able to decide what you want to find out and why it don't make sense whether or not you know it. Okay? If we continue to use education as a means of saying, this is what I want you to know, this is what I want you to master, we are defeating the purpose of education. Because all you talk, listen, I'll tell you this. There's a fellow that his name is Sean Connery. I think he's Sir Sean Connery now, maybe deceased. I'm not sure whether he's alive or dead. I have not checked recently. He was known as James Bond 007. That's what he made his fame as.
Right.
When Sean Connery was given the American AIF, whatever it's called, the big award, Sean Connery stood up on stage and said, I got my big break at age 5 because I learned to read. So all them scripts that they give me afterwards, I knew how to read it. He worked in this, he worked in that, he worked in coal. He was no big shot, nothing. He said he left school at 12 or 13. But he said, my big break was when I learned to read at age 5. He ended up being Sir Sean Connery, James Bond, a man who said, I learned to read at age 5. If you know that at age 5, learning to read allowed you to sit down and go through Shakespeare,
right,
or comics, or right, how to books, or when you didn't understand a word, you know you could take it to somebody and ask them what that word is. And they would tell you how to pronounce it and how to find out the meaning. Sir, you have learned to educate yourself. And therefore, when you're faced with a problem, you know what to do. You either read and find out how to fix it. You go to someone who knows how to fix it and you ask them, can you tell me how to fix this? That is called getting an education. What we have done is we have taught our children how to pass exams. And therefore, when they don't pass exams, we then label them as failures, dunce, or say something wrong with the system. So my problem is, how do we change a mindset that says education has to be taught as opposed to education has to be acquired? And that, sir, is where we would make the distinction of saying, oh, you could be an architect, and you could be a plumber, and you could be an electrician, and you could be a lawyer. Because there are people, and I keep saying this, who went to Harrison College from well-known families and high-brung families and white families and ordinary families who are musicians, who are great musicians. And that was their decision. And their parents, no matter what their parents were, whether they were lawyers, doctors, or island scholars, were quite comfortable with their children exploring their talents and being the best that they could be in that field. That's what we need to tell our children. Read with them at age 5. Let them come to us and ask us a word if they don't know how to pronounce it. And if we don't know how to pronounce it, that we know who to go to ask how to pronounce it. So we won't say idea. We will say idea. Right? We won't mispronounce and then write long letters to the newspaper saying we children on the radio and they're calling the word wrong. Because they would know to ask and be corrected before it gets to that stage. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Birthday to the Prime Minister and Chris St. Clair. Happy birthday to them. I went to the meeting in Flat Rock, St. George, and I must say, I was pleased with how the members spoke for Miss Moore. They did a very good job. In fact, I said to myself, listening to them, I must give her my vote.
But okay, sir. Thank you very much. Please. We're trying to avoid having to be shut down because they feel that people are using the calling program as to promote candidates and to use the airwaves for political purposes. So I would ask people to please curb their enthusiasm. I saw a WhatsApp message asking when we're going to shut down the program because of the by-election. Campaigning, let's keep it off the airwaves. Please, if you want to discuss the challenges that we face, I would like us to do so. And thanks to the persons who tell me that Sean Connery is still alive and doing well at 90. I am happy to know that he is. I'm sorry I stopped following Sean Connery after Alcatraz and James Bond said he was too old. I had done with movies after that. So that's why I said I don't know if he's still alive. So, yep. Age 90, thank you very much to the person who said still alive. Okay. I thank you very much. That's why I like WhatsApp. You know, WhatsApp gives me good information every once in a while. Three people tell me he's still alive. Boy, and, well, two of them are ladies. I don't know if the third one is a lady or not. So the ladies obviously following Mr. Bond is still in his dotage. I got a very nice compliment from a lady once who worked with us, who looked at me and tell me, you're the Bajan Sean Connery. I said, geez, honey, boy, I got a real pipsy and now. She was about 30 years younger than me, though, so I didn't bother to give her my best Bond voice. I'm sorry, I'm trying to lift my spirits this morning. Brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Dr. Johnson.
he went out. I only hold in the office.
According to what I have heard, I didn't expect you to get it so quick. Anyhow, you remember the last conversation we had? You told me I swiped that one.
Yep.
I want to inform you that in cricket, a swipe is a shot.
But listen, did you not hear me this morning when I said that sometimes you see a batsman, you know, good and you might make 100?
Yeah, but
you say the bowling bad and the wicket the wet and the and the captain, but man still make 100. So swipe is a shot. Sometimes, of course.
Charles Braffitt, they swipe them 4 sixes.
We couldn't win. Viv Richards used to swipe regularly too.
Every year, sit back and play a pretty shot straight to the back, to the fielder.
We'd be in trouble.
Yeah, all right. I'll find something here. I want to read it to you. They're going to give you a quiz. I'm bowling the balls. I gave you a quiz. Listen to this. Areas hit by water problems. The Barbados Water Authority is presently experiencing some difficulty in maintaining supplies of water to all parts of the island on a 24-hour-a-day basis. Water levels of reservoirs, in spite of pumping at maximum capacity, continue to fall. Last weekend, parts of the higher elevation of St. Thomas, St. George, St. Andrew, and St. Joseph were without water for a long time. In spite of the authority efforts to maintain supplies, the difficulty is caused by the prolonged dry spell Barbados is presently experiencing. Could you tell me when that article was written?
I don't know, 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
That is an article from The Advocate, Tuesday, March the 23rd. 1982.
Yeah. Okay. I swipe. It didn't quite get to the boundary. It pulled up before the rope. It pulled up before the rope.
When you hear people talking and you got the evidence, you could always look. But it is an advocate that I got. This is one. Long, long one.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the advocate was a long sheet?
It was called a broadsheet, yes.
Right.
You could fold it up four times.
I can get another one. I heard you. And a gentleman was talking about the insurance company, ICB.
ICB, all
there. I'm going to give you another headline. No monopoly by foreign firms, Adams. That's what former Prime Minister Adams said. He said the government of Barbados does not intend to allow foreign insurance companies to use local insurance companies as a front for their operations in Barbados. Now, we went on to speak about the formation of ICB.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, when I come on this year and I speak about things, I always had the evidence. I could go further, because this article was, as I told you, was Adams' calls for more restraint. This was the debate, the estimates debate in 1981-82. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it will only show you that the problems that we are getting today is nothing new. And it's just a reoccurrence.
So I know.
When,
so sadly, I know.
Okay. So when I look at these things and I hear people arguing about this government do this and this government do that. Under the great Tom Adams, the government was in serious financial problems. That forced it to go to the IMF. But I want to speak in terms of a little bit on the side of caution pertaining to Barbados. Because I made mention before, and I was surprised the other day when I made mention of the land at Jukes that was given to the university. And then when I hear people saying what product you could get out of sugar cane. And Dr. Black Belly Sheep. Got some Black Belly Sheep. Can't remember his name off. Not
his
deliberate.
His name is Dr. Leroy McLean.
Leroy McLean. I remember Leroy McLean came on air when he mentioned about the lands. He said, and you should remember this, he said, don't mind the people talking, that he and the member of St. Thomas, Cynthia Ford, he had discussed a program about this land, and it was accepted by the MP, Cynthia Ford. I would like you to come back at some point in time. Not saying that you're trying to cram them, but to explain, if you do not communicate with people, I am one who keep questioning the uses of the land. And if he said he had a plan, you don't think it, at a time like now, it'd be fair to him to come to the country, not to me, to the country, and explain what that plan is.
Why?
Because he said he had a plan for it.
So, and he told somebody. So why does he have to tell the country?
Well, he said it on air.
So,
when he said it on air, he didn't say it in a room that was closing up. He said it on VOB.
So why must he come and tell you what the plan is? He said he had a plan. He said he spoke to the minister. He is not in charge of the university. Neither is the minister. So if he had a plan and he took it to the minister, it is obvious that there was something that stopped it from going to the next level. What would telling the public mean? So that's the problem I have with telling the public, you know. Because when you put things in the public domain, and then people decide to either criticize him or criticize the minister, it does not fix the problem. So let me tell you something that you don't know, that I know.
Uh-huh.
And I hope that Leroy, if he's listening, is not offended by me saying so. Right? Because there are things that people tell me sometimes that is said in confidence, and I try to keep their confidence. I had a discussion with Leroy at one point, and notice I calling him Leroy. Because remember, he called and say, I could call you Dennis, and I tell him yes. I ain't gonna explain why that happened. But anyhow, I had a conversation with Leroy one day, and he was complaining to me about things that he wanted to get done when he was assigned outside of Barbados to represent Barbados, and he couldn't get it done. And I said to him, Leroy, why are you complaining to me? You are in a position where you are supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to be assisting Bajans. You are in a position of responsibility. You know people in government. You have contacts with your party. Why are you complaining? You say, because at least you're listening, Dennis. There are people that tell things and they don't listen to me. So that's an admission that sometimes when you have an idea and you bring it to somebody and you give it to them in the hope that because of their trust and connection, and because of the value you place on your idea, this will be brought to fruition. If it's not done, what is the point of telling the public what it was? Unless you and I could fix it.
I think, Dennis, you miss exactly where I'm coming from. Listen carefully what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
The land belonged to the university. Or was given to the university.
It was granted to the university for research purposes.
Granted or gift or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I'm using the term that they use.
Right.
I like to use terms.
For he to come, I say that he and the member of St. Thomas have an idea. I said straight away, I think talking to the member of St. Thomas is the wrong person because it do not belong to government. It belongs to the university. And I thought he would have gone to the university. I'm not crying down his idea because I don't know where it is. But I thought it would have been better to speak to the authority university than using the members of St. Thomas. That's all I'm trying to say. Because the land don't belong to the government.
Okay. Didn't get that from what you said, though. But anyhow, I got it now.
You get where it was coming from. Good. Now, on the other hand, I am looking forward hastily for the development of the agricultural land. I was reading here on another article, everybody coming up with a housing project. Not this year, not last year. But I always ask, where is the policy of the government, the agricultural policy, pertaining to lands? And I always say, I have seen agriculture develop to a stage that would make me laugh. I came along and I used to see when new carrots used to draw mud, and I always remember those two old men got arrested them in the grave. We had two men from Blackman's Plantation that used to come to Andrews and draw mud. I never see animals so big. You know the size of the mules, mule guard. Tremendous animals. And one the name Froggy. You will laugh. There's one the name Froggy and one the name from Blackman Tenet. Oh, Lord. I can't remember his name, but he was the father of the knights. Anyhow, those men used to work so hard. Sometimes the mule cats get out climbing the hill. And those cats move from mule cart to tractor to trucks to deliver the mud. And I am saying here today, I have never, and I continue to say openly, that I have never seen one industry that developed so fast. And it brings me right back to, and I can finish on this, what you would call air-conditioned vehicles. In 1976, when Dr. Haynes ran in St. George, he had a air-conditioned Jike G103.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no laugh. You know what the people in St. George used to say when he come to look for his mother in Newburgh? Man, he drives up here, he car glass roll up.
Yeah.
I don't push out hard to speak to people.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't vote for him. Now, I say that to say this, that I live long enough to see that electric buses now have air conditioning in it, with the glasses roll up and you can't see over it. If you have an air conditioning unit, it is impossible.
Excuse me? You can't see out of it? You went in the bus? You mean you can't see into it? You could see out of it clearly.
Yeah, but I mean the glasses had to be up. The buses got to be up.
Yes.
So this is real car development. I can check you up much longer, sure. But you know, I got the conversation.
Let me tell you this, right? I don't mind your conversion, your conversations. Let me tell you this, right? You know the day I did it before that. But the day I reminded myself that I will never be a follower. I was in Trinidad. And I saw the oil field workers marching from Port of Spain to, from San Fernando to Port of Spain. They were marching against the problem they had with the government. And while they were marching from Point to Port of Spain, the leader of the union was sitting in the back of an American Rambler with the glass rolled up and the air conditioning on, with a microphone screaming, "March, my brothers! March for your freedom! March against the oppressor!" And them men walking their souls out in the hot sun. A man sitting in the back of an air-conditioned Rambler, USA, screaming in the microphone. And he say, "You see me? Nah."
Let me give you
that reaction.
That
was my...
let me give you the name of the other person that I forget. Mm-hmm. Other people would remember. Mm-hmm. The two drivers in the view cars, one was named Froggy and the other one was named Bonger.
Oh, okay. Thank you, sir. Always good to listen to you. I got to respond to this one on air. I tried to respond to some of my WhatsApp messages not on air, but I got to do this one. Whereas developed countries value scholarship and academic achievement, it appears from the comments on the radio that this society does not. There should be more sympathy for the students in this predicament with CXC. Honorable sir, I value scholarship. I value academic achievement. This constant thing that I don't is wrong. What I do not believe is that the children require sympathy. What I believe is that the children require confidence, that they require support, that they require the backbone and the incentive to get up and change the injustice that they are feeling. Not revolt, not tear down, not wait on their parents to do it. They need to do it. That's the difference, sir. Not sympathy. Sympathy, okay, dear, is not what they need. They need to be told, if you think it's wrong, if you know it's wrong, if you feel it's wrong, and I agree with you, how can we fix it? What can I do to assist you to fix it? Because it's not my grade, it's yours. It's not my world. I am holding it until you're ready to take the reins. That's the difference, sir. Now, if you're hearing from the comments that are being made that there is no value to scholarship and academic achievement, from where I sit, sir, you are wrong. Brass Tacks, good morning.